Hello, and welcome to Alyssa and Ashley's Neurodivergent Dreams Come True, or the Patreon episode wherein we talk into your ears about Buffy for an undetermined amount of time.
Yeah, buckle up. So, just to let you know off the top, there's no world in which we could do just one episode about Buffy. So this is going to be a series. We're just going to do like a intro ep today.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer 101.
Yeah. And then we will talk about what's to come in this series a little later on.
There is also no world in which we can talk about Buffy at all without spoilers. So.
Oh, very true.
If you are currently watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer for the first time, here there be spoilers for seasons 1 through 7 of the show. And also, I'm guessing, spoilers for Slayer's A Buffyverse Story, the audio drama that just came out a couple months ago.
Yeah, we'll probably touch on that.
And also, no, nothing else. Because I was going to say, because there's two Buffy books that I've read, the Kirsten White Slayer and Chosen. So if I might touch on those, but I don't, if you haven't read them, I'm not going to spoil them.
I have read them.
Oh, you have read them. So maybe spoilers for that too.
All right. So let's start with our like Buffy origin stories. Like, how did you find Buffy and when did you start watching it?
So I first heard about Buffy when I was about 6 years old. My cousin, Brooke, was really into the show. And when I say really into the show, she had a freaking cardboard standee of David Boreanaz as Angel in her bedroom.
Nice.
She is now gay. I need those two facts to be inserted next to each other in the historical record. He was really into it. I didn't watch it at that point in time. If my memory is kind of hazy, but there were times I think when it was still airing where she would be like visiting or like babysitting me and or my younger siblings. She's 11 years older than me, where she would be watching it and like it would just be kind of on.
Mm-hmm.
But we were, you know, like playing with our toys or it was like close to bedtime. So I never really watched it then, but it was on my radar. But then I kind of forgot about it because I was a literal child. until like later in life, like I heard about it off and on and off and on. And I just like never really like was something that I felt the need to watch.
Yeah.
And then my freshman year of college, my college had you take a first year seminar. And mm-hmm. the first year seminar that I took was called Wonder Women and Lethal Girls, Feminist Science Fiction and Fantasy, taught by Professor Catherine Kittredge.
Hell yeah.
And the whole purpose of a first year seminar, right? Like you were like studying like a particular thing, but also there was like additional, like it was a 4-credit course instead of a 3-credit course. And like that extra like credit hour each week was based on like the first year experience and adjusting to life at college.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a way of merging the two kind of topics, feminist science fiction and fantasy and adjusting to college, the professor assigned season 4 of Buffy as one of the required texts.
What a wild place to start.
What a wild place indeed. There was a group of people in that class who I wasn't super friendly, like familiar with or like friendly with. They all lived in the city, like by happenstance, they all lived in the same dorm and they would just like, they did the whole season. Like they watched the whole series up to season 4. And like, cause like they had timed it out of like where in the semester we were going to be watching and discussing season 4 and all of these different things. And so so they were doing that, but I wasn't really associated with them and I had, you know, my own things going on. And when the time came it was like we were approaching the time. So I was like, okay, shit, I need to start watching this. So I started season four, like started first episode I ever watched was The Freshman. And I watched and I got up to like, I got a little bit past Beer Bad and I was like, I can't fucking do this. And in the syllabus, I knew that Hush was like a major episode that we were going to talk about. So I jumped ahead and I watched Hush and I just kind of like did a little bit of cursory Googling. And I was like, yeah, I think that this will be enough to get me through whatever we're going to be like doing or discussing.
Right.
And then I watched Hush.
Yeah.
And was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
And then as we were talking about it, like in class, the people who had done, who had either watched it previously or had watched the previous, like the earlier seasons in the lead up to watching season four for the class, they were like, yeah, no, like the earlier seasons are really good. Like it's totally worth going back to the beginning and watching. And they're like, season one's a little rough, but you know, worth it. And it took a couple of years because I had for a different class, I didn't have to watch it, but I got talked into watching Breaking Bad. And so, like, I kind of went down, like, it's like Breaking Bad happened and Game of Thrones was happening right around the same time. Like, so there was a lot of, and I was a TV major. So, like, I was watching a lot of TV. Like, literal, like, for classes and as, like, a, hey, if you're not, like, keeping up with, like, what's popular in TV, what the fuck are you doing here?
Right.
But it was, like, in the back of my mind. And then, like, junior year, I was just like, I want to watch Buffy. And I asked Eddie, I was like, hey, do you want to watch this with me? And we watched like the first couple of episodes of season one together right before winter break. So we went and then we were going back to our respective homes for winter break for a month. I was like, I had the itch. I needed it. And so I was like, hey, Eddie, can I go ahead in Buffy without you? And he gave me the okay. He clearly wasn't as invested in it at that point in time as I was. And I tore through seasons one through three. Tore through.
Yeah.
But then when I hit season four, I hit a bit of a lull again. And I would watch an episode here, an episode there. And it wasn't until after I graduated from college and I moved back in with my parents because I took a year off in between graduating from undergrad and starting grad school. And I was living with my parents and working in a movie theater, and we could have a whole other episode just on that. I actually started listening to Buffering, the Vampire Slayer, the podcast. And I was like, I need to get caught up. Like they were like approaching season four in their coverage. I was like, I tore through the episodes that they had. I was like, I need to get caught up. And so I started watching, I just picked up with season four and went back, like went through to the end. And it's just been, you know, between like the Buffering community and just like the show in general, it's just been like a huge part of my life ever since then.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
My heart, my little heart.
Yeah.
So mine is a little different. I found Buffy whenever I was in the third grade, and my best friend, her family watched it. Alyssa just held up her Buffy mug. My best friend's family watched it like as a family together. Hmm. And I just so happened to like go stay the night on a Buffy night. Hmm. And it was Homecoming in season three. That was the first episode I ever saw.
That is a good one to have as your first.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're just like right in the thick of it with that one.
Mm-hmm. However, my mother was like, no, you're not watching the show. I can't believe they let you watch that. So I wasn't allowed to watch it. So imagine me. I thought Willow and Xander were like, for sure a thing because of that episode. Like, I had such weird, like, expectations of the show.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But so it would, like, one of the, was it like FX or something would do the reruns of, like, the older seasons. And so I would crack the parental control code and I would watch, like, they would do run throughs of seasons 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. And so I caught up that way. And then I had to wait for season 3 to be over and then watch the run through of that. And so that's kind of how I watched it until season 6 was airing. And that is just, it had been years of my mom literally fighting me about it. And so she eventually just like gave up and was like, fine, you can watch the show. And so I started watching it live in season 6. So I saw 6 and 7.
A season to watch live.
And what a season for my mom to like break on.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
All the seasons.
That is, yeah. Cause that's when shit got dark. I can just imagine you, I'm like, you know, like tween teen you watching Smashed live for the first time, and your mom being anywhere in the vicinity of that.
Oh no. As soon as I watched it in my room with my door locked, because I was like, if she catches, because she was such a stickler about like witchcraft, like I wasn't allowed to read or watch Harry Potter. I knew that if she caught any of it actually on the TV, she would change her mind. So I was very much like, absolutely not. I'm watching this on the DL. Uh-huh. But then she also let me start buying the DVDs. So I started collecting those. 3 was the first one I got. So I watched season 3, like just over and fucking over. And I think that often when I'm ranking them, I think that's why I forget how fucking good that season is and to include it in my higher ups. Yeah. But it is such a good season. But I got them all out of order because they were so fucking expensive back then. Yeah. And you just like, I had to get them when I could find them. So
I mean, the DVDs are still relatively, I mean, like, granted, if you do the math, it's probably not that bad, but I got the full 7-season like Blu-ray box set 2 years ago for Christmas. And I think it was like almost $200. Like when I put it on my Amazon wish list.
But when I was buying them, they were $60 to $75 a season.
Fuck.
Yeah. So I would save up my little birthday money and shit. And then when we would go to like Hastings or like sometimes the movie rental places would have sales and they would just like sell DVDs, I would just collect them that way. So I got like season 3 and then season 4. And then I think I had 6 before I had 5. I know that 2 took me the longest to find. It was the last one I got. But yeah, so I watched them over and over and over again throughout my teenage years. And then in college is when I started doing my like annual watch through where fall would hit and I would watch Buffy like in its entirety. So I've been doing that. And then I found the Buffering community. I think they were also on season 3 when I found them because I missed the first prom. It had already happened when by the time I caught up to the coverage.
I don't think I did, but I was living with my parents and there was no way that I was going to be able to fly to LA.
Yeah. In LA, there's no way I could have gone either. But I just remember being like, oh, that would have been so cool. And then they did it again in 2019, and that's when I went and we met, and here we are.
Yeah. Although I think so much more about the Jenny show that May, like a couple months later, when I think about our like origin story.
Yeah, prom was so chaotic, and there it was like we had all been talking in the Facebook group for like a while before, so it was like trying to pinpoint everybody and like match them with their photo and like walk up and say hello. And like, it was just like, I feel like I had maybe 2 minutes with like everybody. And then,
It was just like it was like go, 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 go. And
It was also so hot. Oh my God. It was so hot down there.
We should say it was in like a basement, like event hall of a hotel in Manhattan.
Yeah. and there was no airflow, and like 250 people had crammed down there.
Yeah. Whew. In freaking like prom attire.
Yeah. In formal wear or like costumes.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's kind of our like Buffy backstory. Mm-hmm. The next thing on the agenda is what we love about it. And I feel like that is going to take the bulk of the episode.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, everything. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm a vampire bitch.
Yeah, same. And just like, also magic. If there's magic involved, I'm going to be like interested. Strong fucking female leads.
Mm-hmm. Gay.
I was going to say we can get into the queerness of it.
That's an episode of it in and of itself.
Yeah, it is on the list.
Yeah. God, there's so much that like the storytelling and like the character arcs.
Yes.
Especially like the early seasons.
And like it really influenced TV that we have today. Like nobody was doing the shit that Buffy was doing when it was doing it. Also just like highly influenced my personality and like how I speak. Like very like Willow-esque.
Like the silly the, like, clippiness. Silly. Yeah. Yeah. That's not so much the case for me, only because I watched it like later.
Right, right, right.
But I mean, honestly, I think for me, like, even more than Buffy, just like getting into the buffering community and like the people involved in that like has been such like a big and important part. But if we are talking about like episodes and stuff that we love, you know, like if I'm thinking like I'm literally drinking my tea. I didn't do this. I asked Eddie to make me some tea and he just brought me this. I'm not even sure if he knew what we were talking about today, but he brought me for anyone who knows the episode Hush, it is Giles's stick drawing that says Buffy will patrol tonight. And this mug, fun fact, was purchased for me by Jenny Owen Youngs in a Secret Slayer a couple of years ago.
I love that.
It's a great story.
Jenny Owen Youngs.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I would be remiss if I didn't talk about the Slayer Fest family also.
Yeah, of course.
That was actually the first Buffy podcast I listened to. I was really in my own little fucking world through college. Mm-hmm. And like, so I didn't even know what a podcast was until like 2017. Okay. And I was like, okay, this is interesting. And I was like figuring out like where I could listen to them. And I was like, okay, I bet that there are Buffy ones out there. And so that was my first go-to.
Okay.
And Slayer Fest was the first one that I really listened to. And then I found Buffering after. And then so I met Lorena and Aliza and Lisa, who started a Roswell podcast and needed an editor. So I started working with them. And that's kind of how I got into making podcasts. And then there was an offshoot of that friend group that started a podcast. And so I was helping them out. And
all roads lead back to Buffy.
Yeah. Yep. And one of the hosts of that actually knew Ian. And so they had Ian on as a guest for that podcast. And so that's how I met Ian.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like the full circle of my podcast journey. Like I have reached full peak by the time I was working for Slayer Fest. That's
crazy. I was at the Buffering live show that Ian was on.
Yeah. In Philly. Yep. But yeah, so back to the show. What is your, is Hush your ultimate, like, is that your top episode?
No.
What's your favorite?
So I have a distinction. This is where the former television major in me comes out. I have two separate lists when I talk about my Buffy superlatives. I have best episodes and favorite episodes.
Yep. I have that with seasons too.
Yeah. These are not the same thing. And you're going to understand why in a moment. Because the best episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer ever
Let's
made.
Let's say it at the same time what I think.
Arguably one of the greatest episodes of television ever made. Period. End of sentence.
I think we have the same answer.
All right. I'm holding up my fingers.
Okay.
The body.
Yeah. For sure. That is the best episode.
It's the best episode. It destroys me.
Yeah. And it's my go-to cry episode.
It's, yeah, it's a rough one, but it is so brilliantly and so beautifully done.
Yep.
That, like, God, there's, like, no words for it. It's just...
it's a masterpiece.
Exactly. Like, it... I've watched a lot of really good TV. And the body just stays up there for me.
Yeah.
With, like, some of the top episodes, like Watchers on the Wall or Battle of the Bastards from Game of Thrones, with some of the, like Ozymandias from Breaking Bad. Like, it's up there for me with some of the best episodes of television that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It's just so good.
It's phenomenal.
I hate watching it.
And like I said, it's my go-to. Like, if I need to cry and I can't and I, like, need to get the emotion out, I can put on The Body. I'll cry before the credits roll. Like, and I don't even have to finish the episode because mm-hmm. I'm done and I got it out.
Yep. Yeah, I have a really hard time watching it, but it is really hard for me not to acknowledge. So it's not on my list of favorites because it's really, same, really rough to watch. But I can't not acknowledge that it is a fantastic work of art in and of itself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So that's the best.
Yeah.
If I think about my favorites, this is kind of a no particular order list because it kind of, like, oscillates between these five. And it's just kind of like, what mood am I in? But I think I would say that my top five are probably Hush, Fear Itself.
Nice.
Once More with Feeling, Prophecy Girl, and Band Candy.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, my favorite episode is Tabula Rasa.
Tabula Rasa is amazing.
I have an explanation. Mm-hmm. I get a lot of people are like, that's the episode. And I'm like, yes, because it has everything I love about Buffy all in one episode.
Mm-hmm.
You get the action scenes, you get the friendship, you get the love story and the heartbreak.
Goodbye to you.
Also, not for nothing, I was fucking obsessed with James Marsters as a child and was, like, full on Spuffy. Like, so them making out at the end of that was like, So that probably also plays into my feelings for the episode. But I stand by. Also, I just fucking love the shark guy. Like, he's one of my favorites.
No, Tabula Rasa is amazing. So much. And, like, if I'm rounding out my top 10, like, that's in there.
Yeah.
Doppelgangland is in there. Like, yeah. Like, I just, like, went with five because it's easy.
Yeah. But, like, I can fill it out. Yeah. Definitely. I was going to – my next would be Doppelgangland.
Mm-hmm.
Once More with Feeling and Hush, I feel like are – just like a given.
Mm-hmm.
But I also really love Chosen, the finale.
Yep.
It's one of my favorite episodes.
There's a reason that I cried my eyes out at Buffering's live taping of Chosen. And yeah, one of them was just all of us together reciting the fucking speech.
Yeah.
That speech gives me chills every time I think about it, like, much less hear it.
Yeah, my favorite moment is in that episode is when Buffy's knocked down and she says, get out of my face, and she stands up and she knocks all of those Uber vamps off at mm-hmm. one, like, in one fell swoop, and you're like, we're gonna fucking win.
It's so good. Yeah. Oh God, Chosen is incredible. There's so many good episodes. It's, like, genuinely hard.
It is. It's really hard. And it's ever-changing. My top five is, like, ever-changing. But I do stick with Tabula Rasa.
Yeah. I have a funny story. And you actually might – like, if I think back in time, like, you might have actually been involved in this. But after I had finished the show, but, like, in that – I was still in that, like, really shit year where I was living with my parents and working at a movie theater. And I was long distance with Eddie. It was just a lot of not great stuff.
Mm-hmm.
On top of all of that, I had to get a surprise root canal.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Like, I didn't have any, like, symptoms or anything. Like, I wasn't having any pain, but I went to the dentist and they were like, yeah, that's, like, a really, like, you need a root canal for this cavity. And that particular, like, the dentist that I did that performed it and, like, all of that was awful. That whole experience was a shit show. So like I got back from that and I was in pain and I was just like really emotionally exhausted. And I had had like a huge anxiety attack because I was just going in to do cavity fillings and they were like, yeah, you need, it was a whole thing. Right. That mm-hmm. dentist sucked. And I wrote a very, very angry Google review about them afterwards. And I like posted in Slayer support and I was like, this just happened. I'm miserable. Send me your favorite Rex for lying in bed, like high on Advil, like feeling like shit. And a couple of people were like, once more with feeling tabula rasa double feature.
Yeah.
And so I did that. And it was great because you go through the entire span of human emotion within those two episodes. And then you just cry it out to Michelle Branch and then you're asleep.
Yeah.
And so I did. I like just curled up in bed and I my mom had gone with me to the appointment. I was like, can you just tell everyone to leave me alone? Like I don't want to, I'm so drained.
Yeah.
And I just crawled into bed. I locked my door. And I just, like, on my phone, like, I didn't even get my laptop out. I just, on my phone, like, was curled up in bed watching those two episodes just to, like, feel better. Yeah. And, I mean, it worked. It worked. And then my mom made me, like, mac and cheese and mashed potatoes because
my mouth hurt. Because she's phenomenal.
And she is phenomenal. And, you know, it helped me to feel a little bit better. But, like, that I just do, that is one of the like my go-to like duologies for if I'm having a rough time, that's one of the ones that I'll go to.
Nice. Yeah. I have, so on the list of things is like ranking the seasons. So I'm gonna try not to get into that too much. But
yeah,
I think that season 4 is lacking in a lot of ways. But their standalone episodes are so good. Like, Something Blue is one of my go-to, like, I'm in a bad mood and I need giggles. Like,
Superstar.
So good. So good.
I watched Superstar. Like, it was, like, a similar thing. I was having a bad day and I was like, I want to watch Buffy.
Yeah.
And I actually, I couldn't decide, like, what season I wanted to watch. So I just, like, had Siri pick a number for me. Uh-huh. And it rolled 4 and I was like, what the fuck am I going to watch in season 4? I was like, I don't want to watch Hush. And I was like, I haven't watched Superstar in a while. And so I watched it and it was hilarious because Eddie has since I got him to watch the whole show. No, that's a lie. I've gotten to watch most of the show. He watched Tells Bells and refuses to watch anymore. And I'm like, if there's ever a time to bail out, that is it. So I'm not going to fight you on this. Because also, like, we were watching it together. I was like, I was not looking forward to the next, you know, last little home stretch of season 6. So I was like, I mean, fair. I'm not going to argue with you on that. So.
Yeah.
And also, I bailed out on a show that he wanted me to watch because my favorite character died. So I was like, you know what? This is fine.
I'm a little bit of a purist, though. I feel like you got to finish it at some point.
He might, you know, we'll see. But I just, like, I really can't fault him for, like,
no, that's how a good,
mad yeah. he is about
yeah.
the assassination of Xander's character in Hell's Bells. And then just, like, the bullshit everything about that episode. I'm like, I can't be mad at you. Because, like, his problems are not even he's, like, mad about the quality of the writing. He's like, these are just things these characters wouldn't do and things that don't make sense.
Yeah.
The show has an internal logic.
Yeah. Hell's Bells is.
Yeah. So I was like, you know, just kind of like, okay, if that means that I don't have to watch Entropy or Seeing Red or any of the end of season 6, then I'm good.
Do you know what another good season 4 episode is? A New Man.
A New Man is amazing.
I love it so much. I love Demon Giles hopping out of Spike's car to scare Maggie Walsh. It makes me so happy.
Oh, my God. And also New Moon Rising.
Yes.
But, yeah, season 4, I think because the big bad of the season is objectively the worst big bad. No, that's not. I can't even say objectively the worst because the trio fucking sucks also, just in a different way.
I just don't consider them a big bad. Dark Willow is like the big bad.
That's true. Yeah.
And depression.
Yeah. Season 6 is a different animal entirely. But like Adam sucks so fucking much that it's really hard to like get past that sometimes, I think.
Also, just like the initiative in general was a flop. Like they could have done so much with it and they didn't. Mm-hmm. And so like, why are we not linking that back to like Marcy? Like,
yeah,
let's link it back to some things and like moving forward, do something with it. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Or like link it back to some of the stuff with like the mayor and Schneider, where like, you know, like I'm thinking about like School Hard, where like he tells the cops, like, yeah, tell them it was PCP. Like,
mm-hmm.
like we could like, we could have had something where it's like the initiative has always been there and been kind of like a moving part of this, but like they were in the mayor's pocket,
right?
Or, you know, the mayor was just like so charming and charismatic and all of that that they didn't realize that he was
a demon,
and that now because of what happened at graduation, especially because this is all coming to fruition in season 4, they are tightening their, you know, shit up in Sunnydale.
Yeah.
And like, you know, maybe they fucking know. Okay, so I'm sorry. So Mark Lucas is in this movie called First Daughter. Have you ever seen First Daughter?
Yeah.
With Katie Holmes. So Mark
I think
Lucas
I have
is,
it on VHS.
That is one of my favorite sentences ever stated. I fucking loved that movie. I would watch it all the goddamn time. And Mark Lucas is the love interest in that movie. And they could have done a cool, like, first daughter thing where they know, the initiative knows that Buffy's the Slayer. And they send Riley in and, like, they send these guys in undercover, like, to bring the Slayer into the fold.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they can, you know, the fucking Buffy-Riley stuff can happen, you know, the same as it does.
Yeah.
And that would have been so much more interesting.
Yeah. There's so many different ways they could have used the initiative, and it just wasn't done very well.
Yeah.
But some great standalone episodes.
Yeah.
I do really like the freshman.
The freshman's good.
Plus you get Pedro Pascal for his one little Buffy romp.
Yep. It's a fun one. There are a lot of really good things about it. I just think that the overarching like season arc is bad. And so if you're thinking about season 4, you're not thinking about it episode by episode necessarily. Yeah. You're thinking about it in terms of like, what is the story arc of season 4 with the initiative and Maggie and Adam? And that is not enjoyable.
Yeah.
Mommy. It's not compelling television.
But then we get 5, which...
Oh, God. It's so good.
Yeah, chef's kiss.
Like, I genuinely love season 1.
Yeah.
Witch.
Oh, The Witch is one of my all-time favorite episodes.
And I mean, like, Prophecy Girl is just so fucking good.
Yes.
And, yeah, there's so much good stuff in every single season of the show. I feel like we have to, like, do an episode on each season in order to like do them justice.
Yeah, so well, we can talk about the ideas we have for this Buffy series. We just like wrote out a little list here. So one of them is doing an episode on season 1 and then ranking the season 1 episodes and then comparing each other to see like what episodes are different.
Mm-hmm.
We will have to define our terms on how we're ranking them.
Yeah.
But I think that could be fun. We could also do where we rank the seasons as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking, obviously, we're going to do an episode on the queer representation.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe a like random, we'll just pick like the bangers and watch and discuss those eps.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe people could vote on which eps they want to hear us talk about. And then we could also do a Buffy Heartstopper crossover ep where we talk about who in the Paris Squad is who in the Scooby Gang.
Mm-hmm.
So those are just some ideas we have. Let us know what sounds good to you all. We're obviously doing these episodes for y'all. So what do you want to hear us talk about?
Yeah.
Also, if you don't tell us what you want, then we're just going to fucking babble at you. Yeah. Because we both could literally just sit down and talk nonstop about Buffy.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to y'all to rein us in.
Yeah, if y'all don't pick, we're just going to spin a wheel when we don't have an idea. So please tell us what to do.
Also, I'm so sorry that this episode is so fucking late because y'all voted on these so long ago. But life has been insane. So thank you for being patient and kind and still hanging out over here with us.
Yes.
And there will be more to come about Buffy.
Yeah. We love y'all.
Bye.
Bye.